Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Awesome to see you here this morning. It's a great, great day. I'm so excited about all the people getting baptized. Because really what baptism does, it initiates you, it activates you into the body of Christ. And I'm telling you, these folks are getting baptized. It's not just going to be a check-the-box deal for them, but the people's lives are going to change, and the people around them, the people that they know and love, those lives are going to change too. 34 years ago today, I woke up in my bedroom apartment over in the village, and I had an experience with the Lord that changed my life. It was as if there were a weight on my chest, and I rolled out of bed. I remember still having shorts and a t-shirt on, and rolled out of bed and got beside my bed and prayed. And there in my bedroom, I could see the presence of the Lord just come upon me. And I just said to the Lord, I said, Lord, if you'll forgive me for calling myself a Christian and for not being one, then from today forward, I'm going to live my life for you. And it was a life-changing thing for me. And about 10 days earlier, I had received Christ and made the prayer, you know, and said, Lord, come into my heart. But it was on this day, really, 34 years ago today, that really Jesus really came into my life in such a powerful way and really changed me. And so I just want to give honor to the Lord now. Just thank you, Jesus, for what you've done in my life. Thank you, Lord, what you've done in our lives as a family. Nancy's next door, I think. And thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our church. Lord, we're so grateful for all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Today we're talking about finding your element. We want you to find your element. We're really talking about biblical service and serving. And I want to just make this mention because I want to make sure that nobody misunderstands. I'm not just talking about serving in the church family. That's really, really important. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. Every week you're going to hear an interview with folks that are actually serving here. But having it today, we're going to talk about having a heart of service extends beyond the four walls of this church, right? I mean, it extends into your household. Those of you that are married, to your spouse, to your children. Those of you that are not married, to your friends, to your neighbors, to your immediate family. I mean, it's really about serving at the workplace, serving in the community, serving our nation. And so serving comes in lots of different forms and flavors. All of us know someone who has a real gift of service. I mean, they just immediately, they're like Martha, you know, they come in, they're while they're talking to you, they're cleaning your house, you know, and while they're talking to you personally, they're picking lint and stuff off your coat and off your clothes. I mean, they just serve. That's just what they do. But there's all kinds. They don't have to have that particular gift or personality to be a servant of the Lord. And in fact, there are more of us that don't have that gift and personality that are serving the Lord than there are that do. And so there's many, many ways to really serve the Lord. We function at our highest level when we understand and walk in the purpose for which we were created. And Jesus said, look, he has a great life for us. He says, but if you want to be great, Jesus says, anyone who desires to be great among you, he says, shall be your servant. That's in Mark chapter 9, verse 35. So service is something that precedes greatness. And so we got to learn how to be a servant. Learn how to be a servant. I have two thoughts for you today because today I want to talk about a heart to serve. And actually three thoughts for you today. And if you're taking notes, here's the first idea. The first idea is this, that Jesus came to serve and to give his life for us. Jesus is the ultimate example. He came to serve and to give his life a ransom for us. Here's what the Bible says in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And so if he is the supreme being, which we believe that he is, if he is the first in the body of Christ, if he is the foremost of the universe, then we can take our cue from him. He did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That heart beats in us if we're born again. If we're born again of the Spirit of God, then we have that same heart. Why? Because Jesus lives within us. He lives within us. And so having a heart to worship, having a heart to serve, having a heart to obey, that all changes when God comes into our lives. I mean, when I got saved 34 years ago in my bedroom in my apartment, When I came to Christ, everything about me changed. That there was a new creation. The old person died. Something new came to life. That's why baptism is so powerful, because when you go into the waters of baptism, you identify with the death going into the waters, the burial being under the waters, and the resurrection coming out of the waters. And I was that old Joe died that day in that apartment, and something new came out of that bedroom door that day, because my life was totally different. I had a hunger for God's word. I just want to read the Bible. I want to find out what it had to say. I had a hunger to obey God. I did not know that you couldn't hear God. I started hearing him the very first day. And so it was exciting to me, the Christian life. And I think it's supposed to be exciting to all of us. But as we begin to identify with the heart of God, it is our heart to serve. It is our heart to serve. And again, I don't want to mix that up with a personality or a gift. There are some people that are gifted and have the personality just to serve you. But every one of you has a mandate to serve God and to serve each other. Every one of us. And so we serve best when we understand our purpose, our gift, our call. And when we walk in that purpose and gift and call for the benefit of others, we're serving them. This morning, as I'm teaching you the word of God, I'm preaching to you, I'm serving you this morning. I'm serving out of my gift. I know I didn't get you a cup of coffee when you came in. I know I didn't greet you at the door when you came in. Hopefully somebody did greet you here. But that, look, and I can do that. I'm happy to do that. But the highest and best you're going to get of me is when I'm preaching and ministering and teaching to you the word of God. Why? Because out of that gift, when I serve you, you're going to get the most out of it. There's some in here that are gifted to give. When they're giving, they're serving you. They're serving the body of Christ. They're serving the community. They're serving the church. And so I don't want to get mixed up in the idea that you have to have a particular personality or a particular gift to serve. Don't go there. You have a gift. You have a personality. You have a light. Let that light shine. Because when you let that light shine for the benefit of others, it serves us. We are serving. Can somebody say amen to that? Yeah. So Jesus did not come to be served, but he came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. That's the first idea today, okay? If you're taking notes, here's the second idea. The blessing of your life is in doing and not knowing. You can know that you're supposed to serve, but there's no blessing in knowing it. The blessing comes when you do it. The blessing comes when you do it. If you brought your Bible, you can turn to John chapter 13. John chapter 13. And I'm going to show you a passage here about Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. Okay? Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. Here in John chapter 13, I'm going to begin in verse 1. Now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew, everybody say, Jesus knew. You're going to see this over and over and over again. Jesus knew, Jesus knowing, Jesus knew, Jesus knows. I mean, you're going to see that over and over. What you're not going to see so much as, and I will show you once in this passage, is that he knows and you don't, right? He knows and we don't get it, all right? So the Bible starts out before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, and that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Again, remember, we're talking about biblical service. So how did Jesus serve his own? The Bible says that he loved his own who were in the world, and he loved them to the end. You know, the highest form of service we can give is loving each other. And when we love each other, the biblical way, the agape kind of love, we lay down our lives for each other. And so Jesus agaped. He laid down his life for his own who were in the world, and he laid down his life all the way to the end, right? Okay, verse 2. Supper being ended, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, verse 3, Jesus knowing, everybody say knowing. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come from God and was going to God. Now, This is really, really important because this is what gives you security. I don't know if you've ever battled with insecurity before. Anybody's probably nobody like that in here ever felt insecure, you know, but the greatest antidote to insecurity is knowing what Jesus knows, right? Jesus knew that he had come from God and he was going back to God. He knew that he had come from God and he was going back to God. You and I can also know that when we're born again of the Spirit of God, we have come from God. We've been born again by the Spirit. And then once we are born again, then we have the assurance of a heavenly home when we depart this place. So having that kind of security gives us great boldness. Boldness to enter into the throne room of grace and get all the grace that we need when we're in trouble. And so Jesus knew this. He knew that the Father had given all things in his hand. He knew he had come from God, and he knew he was going to God. So what did he do as a result of being that secure? Verse 4, he rose from supper and laid aside his garments. He took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Peter had a gift. His gift was to say the wrong thing at the wrong time, right? I mean, he just had a gift for it. He just had a gift. I identify with him. I mean, I've said the wrong thing at the wrong time so many times that, I mean, I just identify with him. He says, Lord, are you washing my feet? And so he has a good meaning about it. He said, you know, I should be really serving you. You shouldn't be serving me. But Jesus has a different idea here. So when he came to Simon Peter, verse 6, Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Verse 7, Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Basically saying, Peter, you don't know. But I know, and I know because I know you'll know after this. I got it, you don't get it, but you will get it after this. That's basically what he's saying. So Peter, not content with that answer, verse 8, said to Jesus, you shall never wash my feet. I mean, I can see him now, you know, he's pulling away from Jesus. You shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him and said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. I mean, that's a pretty solid line he's drawing there. So it says, basically says, unless you step over this line, unless you let me wash your feet, then you and I have nothing to talk about. We have nothing to deal with here. And that's what I want to just say to you, is that there are moments in time where you have to let others serve you. Jesus serving through fellow members of the body of Christ. Jesus serving you through people who love you, who care about you. Jesus serving you. You have to be willing to let him do that. It's a whole lot easier to know somebody in need and write a check or go and do something for them than it is when you get in need and somebody writes you a check and does something for you. It's a lot harder. And Peter's testifying of this. You'll never have to wash my feet. Jesus said, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. So Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. It's just not my feet that are dirty. I'm dirty all over. Now, he wasn't talking about dust and dirt. He was talking about the fact that he recognized what Jesus was going to do. And he just wanted to make sure that Jesus knew that he was fallible as a human. And you know what? If you're going to start at the feet, there's a whole lot more that you could deal with right here. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you. For he knew, everybody say he knew, who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. I love this imagery here is because we've been talking about and dealing with baptism. But watch what he says. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet. If you've been born again by the Spirit of God and you've been baptized, that new creation reality has come into your life, then you're a different person. You are already clean. The only need that you have, he says here, is to wash your feet. Why wash your feet? To clean the places that you step into that you ought not have gone. To do the things that you did that you ought not have done. And Jesus said, it's good then for me to wash your feet, to clean you of the guilt, of the shame, of all the stuff that comes on you after becoming a new creation in Christ and then doing things that you know better than doing. And so it's a good thing. So this is why Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, we got nothing in common. Listen, if I don't wash your feet, not only will your feet get dirty, but it won't be long before your hands are dirty, and it won't be long before your head is dirty, and it won't be long after that before your heart is dirty, and it won't be long after that before you are totally outside of the covering of my love. So let me wash your feet. This is an example for us, brothers and sisters. Not just the physical washing of the feet, but to really help people get clean of the guilt and the shame of the things that they have gone through, the things that they have done, whether purposely or accidentally, to get their feet dirty, to get their lives dirty. And Jesus said, "It's you don't let me do this. We got nothing in common here." He said, look, you are clean, but not all of you. Why? Because he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. Verse 12, so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, now listen to this question. Do you know what I have done to you? It's not, do you know what I have done for you? It's not what I have done with you. The preposition is really, really important here. Do you know what I've done to you? Because when he washes your feet, there's something that happens to you. I call foot washing the lost sacrament. It's because we hardly ever even talk about it anymore. We hardly ever even do it anymore. Some traditions, it's been decades since they've done it. Other traditions, it's been years. But here, when we started the church, this was a common occurrence, foot washing. And so it's something sacred about it. Why? Because it changes you. When somebody, listen, when you wash somebody's feet, that's one thing. It's, hey, no big deal. I mean, you know, serving them, washing their feet, it may seem odd for a minute, but, you know, you can do it. But when you're sitting in a chair and you pull off your shoes and socks and somebody washes your stinky, dirty feet, that's extremely humbling. That's very humbling. It's the same way when somebody comes alongside you and helps you get the guilt and the shame off of you. It's a very humbling thing. When it's the natural feet, you see, listen, I wish my feet were pretty. They're not very pretty. Most of us, our feet's not that good looking, right? Well, our sin is the same way. It's not very good looking. In fact, it can be really ugly. And somebody comes alongside you and helps you clean yourself of that dirty, ugly shame and get that off your life, it's a humbling thing. But once he does it, once it is done, it changes you. It changes you. And so he says, after he had washed their feet, taken his garment, verse 12, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? He's done something to them. Well, of course he did. He washed their feet. No, there's more here. There's more here. Verse 13, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. Verse 15, so he tells them plainly what he's done. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. If you know these things, you're blessed if you do them. So our second big point is here, the blessing is in serving, not knowing that you should serve. The blessing comes to your life in doing, not just knowing about it, okay? We know about it. We know that Jesus came to serve us. We know that Jesus gave us an example. We know that, but the blessing comes when you move beyond just what you know and begin to do. You begin to do the service. You begin to do the work. And so Jesus said, I've given you an example that you should do as I have done. You should do as I have done. God, most assuredly, I say to you, a servant, that would be us, is not greater than his master. That's Jesus. Nor is he who is sent, that would be us, greater than he who sent him. That would be Jesus. If you know these things, he says, you're blessed if you do them. So the blessing is in serving. And some of you know this, you understand this, you get this. But there are times in our life where we just need to be a little more intentional about it, right? Because we find a satisfaction in it, of life, in serving others. We find a joy in life, in giving to others, in giving of ourselves, in exercising our gifts and our calling. But don't just wait for an opportunity for your gift and calling. Have a heart to serve. Have a heart to serve, right? And so because knowing that you should serve is one thing, but the blessing comes when you actually do the serving. The third thought I have for you today is this, is the gospel is demonstrated through serving the body. The gospel is demonstrated through serving the body. You know, it's a one thing to talk the talk. It's another thing when we walk the walk, right? And so when we walk out what we know, when we walk the walk, we are demonstrating the gospel. This past week, I was with a young guy named Peter Lewis, and Peter and I were talking about different things in the Word, and he shared something with me that I'm going to share with you today. I've added a little bit to what his thought was, but he shared with me out of Mark chapter 14. This is the week before Jesus was crucified. And so in Mark chapter 14, beginning in verse 3, it says that being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at a table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? For she has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body. Everybody say, my body. For burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Now, here's the thought. Here's the idea. When someone does something extravagant, extravagant in their giving, extravagant in their worship, extravagant in their serving, there's always a religious crowd that's going to tell you how that should have been poured out, how that should have been served, how that should have been done. And that religious spirit is always going to point to you should have done something for the poor. You should have done something with the poor. But Jesus says right here, listen, you got the poor with you always. You don't always have this moment to serve. She has done a good work for me. Now watch this. She has anointed my body. Everybody say my body. For burial. The thought here is this. When the gospel goes forward to generations past this moment will always be a memorial to this girl. You know why it is? Because she demonstrated the gospel with her service. She demonstrated the gospel. How did she demonstrate the gospel? That a picture of the gospel is in those moments when we serve his body. When we serve his body. When we anoint his body. She anointed his body. When the gospel goes forward from now on, that'll be a memorial to her. What is it about the gospel? She served his body. She anointed his body. She ministered to his body. When you serve his body, that's us. When you serve one another, when you anoint and minister to one another, when you care for one another, when you do something extravagant for one another, the Bible says that in that moment, the gospel's demonstrated. The gospel's demonstrated. The religious crowd say, you're wasting it. You're wasting the moment. It should be given to somebody who has a real need over here, somebody who's poor in this area of their life. No. That's a religious spirit. But when you serve one another extravagantly, when you give to one another extravagantly, when you minister to one another extravagantly, the Bible says that in that moment, we demonstrate the gospel. We demonstrate. We show this is what the good news does to you. It changes your life forever. So these are my three thoughts this morning. The last scripture here is Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. Paul writes, "Brethren, you have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Through love serve one another. We got to have a heart for service. Jesus came to serve and to give his life for us. The blessing is in doing and not knowing. And the gospel is demonstrated as we serve each other. We serve the body. Now, last week we had a interview with a couple of folks who work in our children's church. And James and Macy Hollis told us about their experience. And today we've got an interview with two folks that work in our First Impressions. And that's folks that met you out in the parking lot today, greeted you at the door, ushers, and receive the offering, serve communion, do all those kinds of things. So I want you to meet today Julie Latcham and Joshua Williams. If you guys would come on up, be awesome. Give my hand, yeah. Fantastic. Thank you, Julie. Thank you, Joshua. Now, last week, couple's married, but y'all not married, right?
No.
That's right. I see your husband over there, Mike. Yeah. Hey, listen, thank you for doing this. Thank you for agreeing to it. And what I want to do in accomplishing this is really let people know you, let people know how you got involved in serving and kind of what your experience has been as a result of that. And any benefit, you know, that you've got out of it. So really, I'd love to start with you is just, how long have you been at the church? How did you get here? And when did you first start serving here? Why don't you start first, Joshua?
So, again, my name is Joshua. I'm from East Texas, Longview. I've been with the church 5-ish years. Been a member for 4 years. But initially got started serving. I came to a leadership meeting sometime when I probably like a week after I became a member, right? And so I came and introduced myself to you. You said, "Oh, that's awesome, that's awesome. Go talk to Pastor Matt." And I was like, okay. And so I went and talked to Pastor Matt and got involved with his small group. And he said, you know, like a great way to kind of get like connected and rooted in the church, which I desperately wanted to do, is to start serving,
right? Yeah.
And so I started serving on the ushers team. And just through that, had the great opportunity to like connect with some friends that are still here and no longer here.
Yeah.
But even being away, I have the opportunity to pray with them. And they pray for me. And so it's been a great opportunity.
So Josh, you came. You really didn't have any friends here when you came. Nobody did. Somebody bring you?
No. Okay. So that's interesting. So I came to DFW like, knowing my father and my brother who's in Arlington, right? So I came to school to UT Arlington. And so I didn't know, like, anyone here. And so I bounced around from, like, church to church to church like most of us do. And took a break because I was tired of it. And then I went back home. and talked to my pastor, Pastor Chuck, at New Covenant Church there. He said, have you tried, thought about Trinity? And I was like, no, never heard of it, right? And so he said, like, I know the guy there, talk to him, they're good people, right? So I came and listened to one of the sermons, you know, you were speaking. And at first, I was kind of like, how about this guy, the accent, get to Dallas, you know? I love you, but everything get me, right? And so in my spirit, being kind of skeptical, well, in my flesh, being fairly skeptical, you know, I was like, what in the world, you know? So I was actually about to get up. But then I said, and you started speaking, like, calling down fire and convicting the church and stuff. I was like, I like this guy. I can get down with, like, what he's, like, speaking about, you know? And so, like, from that point, you know.
Most people think I'm from the Midwest when they hear me. California,
yeah.
Northern California, Midwest.
But, yeah, again, I, like, listening to what you were saying, I said, I want to be a part of what he's doing here. And so I want to make this my family.
Fantastic. Now, Judy, you and Mike been here for a long time. How did you guys get here, and how did you decide to serve?
We've been here about 12 or 13 years, and I had just started attending when we were dating. And so from that point on, we've been here. Someone at Sojourn had recommended we try it.
Now, I have the joy of knowing about your first date with Mike, and we're not going to tell it here, but it was great, wasn't it?
It was very
good. It was awesome. Yeah, he won her the first day. So, any rate, how did you get involved? I mean, you were here for a while before you served in the First Impressions team. So how did you get involved in that?
I think for the first couple of years, we were very happy to come in a few minutes late and sit on the back row and leave. And then when we had our son 9 years ago, I started helping in the kids' church with him and his class up until he moved to the upper level, I think six. And then I think Melina just said, will you help? And I said, yes.
Yeah, great. Fantastic. And for both of you, Josh, go back to you again. Do you find that you have to have any particular gift or talent to be an usher, a greeter here?
Not even in the least. Like, the hardest part of, like, our job, I would dare say, is waking up in the morning and, like, finding a clean shirt. So, you know, because coming in, of course, you're kind of nervous, right? But the more you do it, it becomes like second nature. And so, like, when I come in, it's almost like it's a habit of, like, what I do, you know? And so to say you have to have a gifting, not really. It's really just being, like, responsible and accountable for yourself and having, like, a heart to serve.
Yeah.
And being available.
Last week, Macy Hollis said you had to have two gifts. You had to be able to read and smile.
There you go.
Now, you say you have to have one gift to do this, is pick out a clean shirt.
No, just wake up. Honestly, it's, like, in all seriousness, it's, like, what we do is very simple, it's very easy, but the effect that we have is profound.
And Julie, what do you, how about you? Have you found that you have to have some kind of, you feel like you have to put on something different to do ushering and greeting, or how have you handled all that?
I don't think so. I think if you can smile, that's a good thing. If this is your happy face, probably you don't want to do the front door thing, because we don't need bouncers.
That's right.
We need people that welcome you in.
That's right.
And then the getting here on time thing, that's very difficult for my family. It sounds super easy, but Pastor Robert even likes to tease us, because my first Sunday was last Easter. And so I came early for the 9 o'clock service, and he asked if we were late for the sunrise service, because that would be normal for our family to show up really late. So I think those are the only two things, just a little preparation.
So for Josh, just picking out a clean shirt, and for y'all, it's getting here on time. Fantastic. What benefit have you gained from serving? I know you've served in Children's Church and now here in First Impressions. Now, make sure, you only serve one service, one Sunday a month. Is that right?
Both services, one Sunday.
Yeah. What benefit have you guys, how have you grown, how has this impacted you? What do you see are the real benefits?
I think it's been really helpful for me to see how much of a production it is to open the doors on Sunday. Not a performance, because it's authentic, but a production. It takes a lot of people to open the doors, to make the coffee, to usher, to just make people feel welcome. And that's just this team. And then there's, I don't even know how many other teams.
Five other teams. Yeah.
Doing their part also. And it's humbling to see how many people it takes.
Yeah. There's people getting here at 6:30, 7 in the morning, you know, who are our media team, who are working on all that, our worship team. And so you're right. If we showed up next Sunday and there were no volunteers, nobody helping, it would be pretty sad. It'd be dark in here. It'd be pretty sad. Yeah, so really, our volunteers and those who serve here are the lifeblood of our church. And so it's seeing that what it is authentic, but there is preparation into creating that authenticity, for sure. Yeah. How about you, Josh? What have you gained?
So the first, like, most important thing for me was, like, getting rooted, right? Because I grew up in a church from, like, 6 to 22 at the same church in East Texas. And so I wanted that same kind of, like, family home feeling here in Dallas. Again, wasn't able to find it anywhere else. But coming here, meeting people I'm serving with, you know, and, like, latching arms with them and, again, when you're serving, you're already hanging out. So, like, talking with them and hanging out with them, I found great prayer partners, you know, and people to walk through life with. And so, like you were saying, you know, if you want to, in the kingdom, the greatest has to be the least. And so when you're serving, you're able to, like, kind of, like, stretch your spiritual muscles in a sense, you know. And not simply in what we're doing. Again, it's not the heart, but being humble, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of, like, trickles into everything else you can learn from. So.
Yeah. Julie, what would you say to someone if they were considering volunteering on the First Impression teams? What would you say to them?
Do it. It's very easy. And it's a great way to meet people.
Yeah.
We're usually at the later service, obviously, with our timing issues, or at the Sunday evening, the 5 o'clock service. And so all these people I probably would never come across unless I served on that team. And it's really neat to just at least say hello to them.
Yeah, fantastic. And how about you, Josh? What would you say?
Exact same thing.
Yeah.
Nike swoosh, just do it. You know, a lot of times we have the best intentions to say, okay, I'm thinking about it, or I'll talk to my wife or husband or, like, whoever, you know, but, like, life gets in the way, you know? Yeah. And so I will honestly just say, like, make a resolve to talk to someone after service today and just do it. I mean, it's very simple to get
involved. I like what you said, Josh. It's just a way to get rooted. And when you say that, it's not really rooted in an institution. It's rooted in new relationships and building new relationships. And at the end of the day, you know, we are a community. And so becoming a part of that community is much quicker when you roll your sleeves up and say, hey, where can I help out? What can I do? And again, we're not trying to lasso you for every service, every Sunday, every week of every month. This is a very limited opportunity to serve, and that is that, hey, one or, in your cases, two services a month. And you're right. You really get to meet, because there's a whole other crowd that comes in here the next service of people that some of you may have never seen that are part of our family. And so it's a great way to get to know them, isn't it? Yeah. Anything else, Julie?
I don't think so.
Yeah. You guys are awesome. Give them a big hand. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Great job. Thank you. Josh, great job. Thank you. Fantastic. On the screen behind me is a text to, or is coming here in just a moment, is a number, 214-253-8970. If you text the word SERVE, it doesn't have to be in all caps, but if you text the word SERVE to that number, that's not going to obligate you for anything. That all that's going to do is let us know that you are interested in finding out more about places to serve in the church. We have 7 major teams here at the church, and these guys are now going to be at the tables. They actually work on all these different teams. And if you have any questions about anywhere to serve in the church, media, worship team, children's church, first impressions, any of those teams, then, hey, we got answers for you. But if you take just a moment and text that word serve, what they'll do is send you a link, and you tap on that link, and then you can just register your name and areas that you're interested in serving. Last week, we had how many people? 27? 25. Had 25 people that actually did that out of the, I guess, out of this service combined. So that means that most of you blew it off. So here's what we're going to do today. We're not going to blow it off today. We're going to get our cell phones. I said, well, I don't have my cell phone with me. Great, we got a computer right here, and we can make it. Lock the doors in the back, please. That's right. And so we want you to be involved. Why do I want you to be involved in service? Because we need service? No. That's not the reason. The reason is because it'll move from being the church or Joe's church or y'all's church to becoming our church. Yes. That's what'll happen. So I would rather it be our church than my church. Is that okay? So how are you going to get it moved from being your church to our church? Serve. Let's all stand together. We have a very high definition picture of everybody who's here, and I will be checking. I'm kidding. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we have to serve. I thank you, Lord, that you gave us an example. That, Lord, in your example, Lord, you showed us that we ought to serve one another. And so, Lord, I'm so grateful to be in a church where so many people, Lord, are excited and anxious to serve. Lord, where really our heart's desire is to get to know one another, is to build friendships and relationships, is to be a community of people. Some of you say, you know, I don't know anybody there. I like the church, but I never see anybody in the real world where I am, or I never get to know anybody. Look, this is the way to get to know somebody. So I just don't know about the commitment. Dude, it's one Sunday. Let me say that again. It's just one Sunday. One Sunday a month. You can figure that out. You can switch with somebody if you're gone that Sunday. Everybody can be involved in this. Is it to my benefit? Yeah, it's great to have a cadre of people serving the church, but it's really more to your benefit because it will move from just being a church to becoming our church. Lord, thank you for that opportunity in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. All right, give somebody a hug, high five, take the locks off the door in the back so that people can leave. God bless you.